This is a replay of the Tuesday night, December 10th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings in Los Sports Preemptus. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. I was hearing a couple stories earlier. Typical Christmas time, HOAs fining homeowners for decorations and things like that, not in accordance with the rules and regulations. And I've always believed that most people would prefer to not be anywhere near an HOA, but I thought, I'm going to look this up. And I did. Apparently, 70% of homeowners would prefer to live without one. There was a survey that they did earlier this year, in fact, in September, and they interviewed well over 1,000 homeowners. And the bottom line is that most of them had horror stories. Now, my favorite story, by the way, and I've never found out what happened to this guy. I should try and find out if there's any update on it. I sometimes hate those stories when, you know, you hear all the details, except, you know, they leave you hanging and then you never hear the rest of the story. Yeah, well, that's what this was. A guy who was being fined for exterior. That's one of the things. Didn't meet some type of code requirement. And so what this guy did was he went ahead and he said, all right, let me look at what is allowed. And he discovered, he looked at all the colors that would be allowed if he were to repaint his home, very minor group of them, but nonetheless. But what he figured out after a while was that there was absolutely no prohibition on how those colors would be applied. So he painted his entire house in polka dots. I'd love to know what happened to him, but I just laughed, and I thought, you know, I think that 70% of the homeowners would probably be laughing right with him. But the interesting thing, the survey went into a number of facets. And, of course, let's start with the pros of having an HOA. Obviously, if you're concerned about the neighborhood not having eyesores and other things that would limit the value of your house, if you're afraid that things couldn't be kept up without a severe set of rules and regs, then all right, that is neighborhood appearance is absolutely the case, and it actually hasn't hurt property value because most of the neighborhoods look pretty darn nice. Now, of course, that said, when buying a new home, 70% said they're going to look for a community without an HOA. And by the way, it's going to be very hard to find because currently 85% of American homeowners are part of an HOA. And in some states like California, for a developer to come in and subdivide lots and sell homes, it's mandatory. But the thing that caused people to leave more than any other was the inconsistent rule enforcement. Yeah, that just really got to people where they were seeing $500 fines, their neighbors seeing nothing. And interestingly, it wasn't so much that they were upset with how much their HOA fees were, 35% of them were, but the remaining didn't have a problem with that. 39% didn't feel they were used effectively as far as that goes. But what's interesting is that it wasn't so much money, it was about enforcement. And this depends big time on what your board is, who's been elected and all that. And we've heard, you know, story after story. But this was the first time that I actually saw one that tried to put it statistically and how do people feel about it. And as I say, the biggest thing is that unequal enforcement or close behind lunacy enforcement, like we're saying right now, the Christmas decorations and things of that nature. So I thought it was interesting, and I was curious if you had a story. I know Steve Bryan, who's joining us on the 26th. Oh, man, I think he ran for his HOA after a while. I don't know if he got on the board or not, but he'll have to tell us that when he joins it. But yes, if you are going to live, and it not only single-family homes, obviously, it's any type of communal living, condominiums, co-ops, and all that. The rules and regulations, the CRNRs will damn near kill you. So read them closely, and see whether you can live with it. As I was looking at these insane fines, one of the survey recipients, in fact, I shouldn't say one of, 15% of the survey recipients said they were fined for the number and types of vehicles on the property. Yes, in the driveway, in the garage. Yeah, and also the real eyebrow raisers are the ones where the HOA controls the interior of your house as well. So on and on the list goes, but I thought that was interesting, and especially here at Christmas time where everybody's doing their decorations, apparently not in some HMOs. I'm sorry, HOAs. Yeah, HMOs, another subject, yeah. I was looking, as we all were, about the shooting in New York and the individual who's now been caught. I'd love to see that manifesto, the three handwritten pages that he supposedly wrote, wouldn't you? All right, well, 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE, and you can vote on your guilty pleasures. And if you're not familiar, your guilty pleasures are those songs that you secretly love but are embarrassed at the thought of anyone else knowing that you even like them. And this poll is of your request only, and every year we get more people saying, well, do guilty pleasures too, because invariably some of the songs that hit the World's Worst Hit Records poll that you voted on this year will also appear on the guilty pleasures. We'll see if that happens yet. Carol is tabulating, and today I went out of my way to make sure that emailers who, I don't know if I got all of them, but I'll do another search, because you can, if you want to, email. I mean, the show happens on the radio. I'd much prefer you call. But if you want to email your lists, we do take them. And that's Rolly@Rolly.net, R-O-L-L-Y-E at R-O-L-L-Y-E.net. And we will take them. But what I was wondering about, the list of the world's worst hit records, which was revealed, of course, on the night of Turkey's Thanksgiving, is on Rolly.net. But if you missed it, and maybe when I give you this list, you're going to say that some of these are your all-time favorites, and that's exactly what I want to hear. And, of course, it is a cumulative poll, because we need to try to get a top 10. So if somebody else loves it and is embarrassed as all get out about it, then by all means, chime in. Number 10 was America, Horse with No Name. 9 was Nancy Sinatra, These Boots Are Made for Walking. Wayne Newton was number 8 with Donka Shane. Rick Dees, number 7 with Diz Go Duck. Number 6, Maria Muldaur, Midnight at the Oasis. Number 5, Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight. Number 4, Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart. Number 3, Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life. Number 2, Tiny Tim, Tiptoe Through the Tulips. And number 1, for now, 3 or 4 years in a row, Paul Anka, You're Having My Baby. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-ROLLY, right here on WGN Radio.
You dress that you're so real fine. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I contend that doesn't make the list of the world's worst hit records because nobody remembers it, but Cindy in Chicago came across it and said, I like it, I want to hear it. That was a flip side of Wild Thing, by the way, the big hit that the Troggs had, the B-side, not so much. But nonetheless, that was the deal with the Troggs, and it was on Atco, but recorded in Great Britain. All right, 888-876-5593. 888 R-O-L-L-Y-E. And as I say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And of course, the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club is also in full swing. And again, I don't hate the holidays, but if it's a ho-ho-hum or worse to you and you don't like the forced frivolity, we'll keep that off the table between now and January 2nd. So yes, you can come out now. All right, so 888-876-5593. And I have a feeling it's going to be a slow night. It was last night too, and every year holiday time, that's pretty much the deal. I'm not sure why, and I noticed that too on a real traffic uptick today. We were driving from Globe to Phoenix, and just a flock of cars everywhere. And I just said, well, it must be Christmas parties, but we'll see what it is the rest of the month. But yeah, people are out there probably shopping, which I guess is good for the economy, especially if they're actually in malls, as opposed to Black Friday, where most of the increases this year, the overwhelming amount of increases, came from online shopping. All right, so back to these HOAs. I tried to look for the guy who painted his house polka dot. I couldn't find it, and he probably is no longer talking to anybody. But got this story from a homeowner who lived in an HOA, cost $12 a month, and she says it's not a typo. We moved in 5 years, told the board was totally chill, which they were. Well, a new board was elected. You know how that is. And next thing you know, the landscaping Nazis and more come to bear. But in this case, it's the house painting Nazis. This individual wanted to repaint the house, and so the board said, you cannot paint your house until you take a 2-foot by 2-foot section of the house and paint it in the proposed color so that we can review it and approve it. Oh, that's going to look real nice. So instead, the homeowner took a board and painted the board that way, left it by the house. That's not good enough, right? And so she said, okay, I want to paint it the exact same color as the house down the block that you approved last year. No, well, that was last year. We will not necessarily approve that. And it went on and on and on. They would not tell her what color she could paint it. I mean, you know, the seasons are starting to evolve. She's not going to be painting it this year at this point. They did absolutely nothing. No, we can't tell you what color. And so finally, she actually went through the process and I guess was going to get a lawyer and appeal it and all that. And then they said, oh, well, we're going to come up with a list. And yes, the house down the block will be on it, so you can paint it that color. But the bottom line is, this is months and months where the board continually, and by the way, they had a painter. Painter couldn't do it because, you know, painter was booked at other times. They lost that opportunity. And on and on it goes, especially when they said, look, we don't care about the damn color. Just tell us any approved color, we'll paint it. No, we can't do that. Well, like I say, finally she prevailed. But it reminds me very, very much of stories that we hear from time to time. But I'll still look for the polka dot guy. Maybe you can find him. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Gary is in Elmhurst. Welcome to WGN Radio.
I've never called a radio show before in my life.
Oh, thank you, Gary. Bless you. I'm so thrilled you called.
I have a couple of guilty pleasures.
Yes.
I grew up in the garage band era. Uh-huh. I just heard that garage band song by the Truck.
Okay.
But my rock friends would never tell them that I love the song One Less Bell to Answer.
Oh.
By the Fifth Dimension.
Oh, good choice.
I heard
choice.
It last night on your top 10 too.
Yeah.
Marilyn McCoo does such a great job expressing emotion in that song.
Yeah.
And my other one is It's Gonna Take a Miracle by Denise Williams.
Oh, man. Now, have you ever heard the original of that?
No, I haven't, and I figured it was an older song.
It is a cover. Hang on a minute. Let me get you. The Royalettes did it originally, and it was kind of a signature song for them, but of course, you know, they didn't go anywhere. So Denise Williams covered it many years later, but...
And did a beautiful job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely did a perfectly fine job. I have absolutely no complaints whatsoever, but I want you to hear some of the originals so you can hear the Royalettes and their glory and splendor.
All right, thank you.
Loving you so, I was too blind to see. That you've set me free, it's gonna take a miracle.
So you can hear the rest of it and find it for yourself, but that's how it was originally.
I will.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm delighted you called, and I hope you will again.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
thanks.
You. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And, of course, the Royalettes' claim to fame is they appeared in Baltimore on Buddy Dean's show on Channel 13 in his talent contest and won it. And the prize was a recording contract, which they had with MGM. And that was 1965. Of course, Teddy Randazzo wrote it, so how could it be bad? All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And let's see, Billy Bob is in Kankakee. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello there.
What you got?
I got four tunes that I'm embarrassed to admit.
Oh, tell me.
You ever remember Nina that did 99 Red Balloons?
99 Luft Balloons, yes.
Oh, Luft Balloons. I thought, okay. And how about By the Lovin' Spoonful, Butchie's tune?
Okay, yeah, flip side, sure.
And then The Monkees with Auntie Griselda.
Oh, my God.
Triple ba, ba.
All right.
And then my last one is, I don't remember what Napoleon was, what his number was, but they're coming to take me away. Ha,
yes.
Ha, hee, hee, ho, ho.
Yes, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in there cleaning my coats.
Yeah, and then is it too late because I didn't tell them that I wanted to do a top 10 list from the 60s if I could?
We do that on Mondays for Monday Night Trivia. Call me back.
I'm calling another day then.
Yeah, Monday night. And next Monday, I'm only on for an hour because there's a sports before me. But if you call...
The hockey game.
Right. If you call in the last hour, we'll do it.
Yeah, see, right. We got on the air. I'm talking to Raleigh right now.
All right.
He says hi.
Okay. Hi, back at you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Goodbye. All right, so look forward to that. Yes, Monday Night Trivia is a lot of fun, and we do charts. That's one of the many things we do. You get to pick the week, the month, and the year, and we'll give you the top 10. You give us the artists. It's not as easy as it sounds. All right, so we'll get to Kathy and McHenry, but right now we'll get to the news on WGN Radio.
Cigarettes in an ashtray. My love and I in a small cafe. Then a stranger came along, and everything went wrong. Now there's three cigarettes in the ashtray. I watched her take him from me, and his love is no longer my own. Now they are gone, and I watch one cigarette
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Patsy Cline. So you can imagine that James on the South Side wanted that, and he got it. Three cigarettes in an ashtray, released as a single on Decca in 1957. All right, 888-876-5593. Oh, this is going to be good. We got Kathy, we got Pat, we got Fran, and Nick in Baltimore. Don't go anywhere. All right, Kathy's got an HOA story. I can't wait to hear it. Tell me all about it.
Well, my mom and dad would be snowbirds down in Mesa for the winter.
Uh-huh.
And they had lived in a 55 and older area for quite a few years. And so they were fairly well known in the HOA. But they weren't on the board or anything. The people who ran the HOA were the people who played golf, because there was a golf course there. So one year, the golf people decided they wanted a new golf club. So they decided to raise all the HOA fees from $400 a month or something like that to $1,000.
Oh, my God.
And that there was also a special thing, a special assessment.
Yeah.
So, but my dad and a group of guys, now my dad was in his 80s,
okay,
got together, and they were looking at the bylaws, and they're like, you have to have an election, and it has to be a certain time frame, and you have to let people know, and they did none of that. They did more like threatening tactics,
right,
and they had the vote in about a three-week period. And so they got a lawyer,
yeah,
and they went to court.
Good.
And when they got to court, they presented their case. And these are all non-lawyer type people. My dad worked for the Tribune.
Right.
And they're all standing up in front of this lawyer, these old people. And these high-powered lawyers are sitting on the other side by the golf club people.
Right, of course. Yeah.
And they laid out all of the facts about how they violated this, they violated that, they violated this, and all this stuff. And the judge just looked at the lawyers for the other side and went, you got any explanation? And they looked at him and they said, no. The lawyers turned to the people that they were representing and they said, we're firing you, and walked out.
This is great.
And the judge... Yeah, it was great. And the judge just said, you people have won your case. They cannot raise your HOA dues for that amount of money.
That's great.
So it was just great. I couldn't believe it. And my dad, you know, who knew that in his 80s he was going to stand up to him.
Good for him. Now, that's a wonderful story. And good for the judge who actually saw through it pretty quickly. That's a great story. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that worked out well. Yeah. And there, you know, if you look, especially, you know, Arizona's one, Florida's another one where they have a lot of retirement communities and a lot of HOAs. They actually have lawyers who specialize in this and on both sides. And it gets pretty vitriolic, to say the least. I'll live on my own. Thank you very much. Pat in Texas, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes, ma'am. I'm, I guess I'm embarrassed to even tell you this.
Oh.
I like all kinds of music. I like jazz.
Okay.
I like a little bit of country, but I like folk music, like Bob Dylan.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you big band music. I like all of it.
Uh-huh.
And my song, or my group, it's by ABBA.
Uh-huh.
And it's Dancing Queen.
All right. Very good. Very
there
good.
There we go.
Yep.
You're
very brave. All right. Thank you.
Well, I'm okay.
Appreciate it. All right. That's
yes,
a good choice. Yes. And willing to admit it on 50,000 watts. All right. Fran and Austin's got some votes. Let me hear them, Fran.
Oh, boy.
Well, I know it ain't Dancing Queen.
That made me think of one that I think does beat it, and I do like it. Oh, God. Chiquitita.
Say what?
By ABBA. Oh, Chiquitita.
Oh, no.
By ABBA.
You like it?
Yes.
There's therapy, I'm sure. Jeez.
Well, it gets worse.
Oh no.
I like when that's the light the nights went out in Georgia.
All right. Vicki Lawrence.
Let's see. There were a couple. Oh, now I don't know what to do because I love They're Coming to Take Me Away, but I don't feel guilty about it. So I guess I can't really.
Right.
Even though people do when they find out that I like that. But then I get a lot of that anyway because I love novelty music.
Right. No, well, that's perfectly fine.
And it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Well, that's right. That's right. Bring back Dr. Demento. He never should have left us.
That's right. Yeah. But let's see. There's a song by, of all people, and I don't really consider myself a country lover, but Buck Owens, and it's something about Bakersfield, but I can't remember.
Well, probably Streets of Bakersfield.
Okay.
And you know,
all right.
That's an interesting record because he originally did that in the early 60s and nothing happened to it. And then they re-released it. It was Buck and someone else in 1987. And around Halloween time, 87, it became a huge record.
I heard it in the 60s because I had a friend at summer camp who was like this huge Buck Owens fan. She was always singing all these Buck Owens songs.
That would have been the original. Yeah, Dwight Yoakam and Buck did it in 87, became a big hit. But yes, Buck Owens, Streets of Bakersfield, early 60s, yes.
So,
I might have that on this computer.
And I like Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
Oh, no. You're going to have to change your phone number after that.
I'm probably going way down in your estimation as we speak.
Oh, my God. Oh, geez. All right. Yes, number one in 1960. You know, when I was writing and producing Soundtrack of the 60s, it was a show that they were going to start with Murray the K, and before they even started it, they were 4 weeks behind schedule. And this was not something that was dated. And so I got a call saying, could you help? And little did I know how bad this was going to be, but I said, sure. And so I came in, and by the way, I got them on schedule within 6 months. Everybody hated me, but I got them on schedule. But the deal was they had the format, and I had to follow it. And it was there were triplets, three songs of the same type. And then at the end, they counted down the top five from 1960, because this was 1980, so 20 years earlier, 1960, right?
Right.
Well, what they didn't realize was Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny was going to be in that top five for months. And so they literally played it every week. And I tried to explain when I first saw it, and we'll do the top five. I'm like, I don't think that's a great idea. So I've heard enough Itsy to last a lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know. It just reminds me of when I was a kid, and I used to sing that when I was a little girl.
Okay.
And I used to love that. 2, 3, 4, tell
the people what she wore. Yeah, okay, all right. Very good. All right.
You know, it's weird because, like, a lot of things that I would have been just, you know, just died if anybody found out I liked when I was, you know, younger. I don't care now.
Well, absolutely. We get to that point.
You know, it's like, I like what I like, and I don't like what I don't like.
Right.
And if you don't like what I like, then fine, I'll listen to it by myself. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was Paul Vance and Lee Pockris who wrote that. So, they left all the way to the bank.
Oh, yeah. Have you heard the follow-up song to that? I think I mentioned that to you a couple of years ago.
What is it?
I think it's called Poor Begonia Caught Pneumonia.
Oh, God, I think you might have mentioned that. This is painful to even think about.
All right. It is.
Poor Begonia Caught Pneumonia. I'll check to see if that's on
this
computer.
It's on the flip of a song. I think it's called, either it's called Lover Boy or Catch Me, because the lyric is, catch me in your arms, I'm falling for you, lover boy.
Oh. Oh, really?
What was in that kiss you gave me, never felt like this. Oops-a-daisy or something like that. Catch me in your arms. I'm falling for you, lover boy.
How do you spell begonia? Poor begonia.
I have no idea.
But, Yeah. This is Brian Hyland, huh?
No, it wasn't Brian Hyland.
Oh, who was it?
I don't know. I had the 45 years ago, and I can't remember who it was, but it was a woman who was singing it.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Oh, God. Jerry Lynn Frazier on Columbia. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I got it in a stack of 45s that I got at a garage sale.
You sure did. And whatever it was, you overpaid. All right, so now we've got to.
Fortunately, there were about 50 records in that, and some of them were actually good. So
and what we want to know is what happened to Jerry Lynn Frazier. All right, that's the real question. All right, see if I can find out that. But Jerry Lynn Frazier, poor begonia. Sure enough. Well, let's hear a little of her dulcet tones here on Columbia. Yeah, you know Mitch Miller's involved in this somewhere. All right, so we'll check this out, shall we?
Now perhaps you might have wondered just what happened to the girl in the bikini, slowly turning blue. But first I gotta tell you, Begonia was her name, and what happened in the water was a doggone shame. 2, 4, 6, 8. Tell us, please, don't make us wait. Poor Begonia caught pneumonia just because she wore that suit. But don't you weep for poor Begonia, 'cause the story ends so cute.
All right then, geez, I'm not 100% sure what to say about this. Now let's see what we can find. I don't think I have any information. She also sang as Jerry Lynn, in addition to Jerry Lynn Frazier, and she did a few things on Columbia, and then Ampar, ABC, Paramount put out a couple of things. That's frightening. All right, so yeah, we've got Poor Joe as well. I guess she specializes in poor. So
I guess so. I've never heard that one. The only thing I've heard by her is that at least that I know of, is that one on the flip side, that Catch Me.
Yeah, Catch Me song. Is, absolutely, Catch Me is the other side. So this was 1960.
And I think I actually heard that. I don't know if it charted anywhere, but I think I actually heard that on KFWB.
Somehow I believe it. I really do. So, all right. So, I got to hear some of "Catch Me." I'm completely unaware of this record. So, we'll find out if she improved.
Catch me, yeah, 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 yeah. Catch me, yeah, 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 yeah. Catch me.
I have heard this.
Catch me. What was in that kiss? If you gave me, you never felt like this. Believe me, say with me, you catch me in your arms. I'm falling for you, lover boy.
Yeah, there's a cartoon that goes with this. It involves a large spotted dog, and so no, I'm not making that up. But yes, that's why I knew it. There's a cartoon. So yes, Lover Boy.
Okay.
All right then.
Yeah, I knew I had heard it, and then when I got that 45. It was okay. But
painful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hang on a minute.
So anyway, she falls in love with the lifeguard who saves her, and they get married.
Yes. Yes. So.
If anybody really wants to know the end of that, I thought I would just put them out of their misery. And
they probably could. I'll bet you YouTube probably has the cartoon, so I could see that.
For poor Begonia caught pneumonia?
I'll bet you they do. Let's see. I don't know. I'd have to have to look that up. Definitely for Catch Me. That, no doubt about it. But, yeah. Let's see.
Wow.
Let's see. Well, we get... I love the way I say answer song. Yes, you didn't need to tell us that. No, I don't think there's anything legit that's a video for it. No, thank God.
Probably
good though. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Fine choices. Anything to add?
Not at the moment.
All right. And we're out of here. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. If you listen to the show, one thing I know is you like radio, or you would have stopped putting up with me long ago. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sure you know about the Sea Crane Company, but if there's anybody who hasn't taken a look at Sea Crane, ccradio.com or seacrane.com, either way, you're missing. And right now, 10% off the CC Skywave SSB2. If you place an order this week, it's 10% off the order. That's absolutely the case, and that's terrific. And you know, I'm looking at this, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, that is not the right copy. It's great radio, though. But here it is. All right, and I suggest it too. But what we're talking about here is the CC Pocket Radio. That's the deal. All right. And I knew that it wasn't 10% off, but it was free U.S. Postal Priority Mail. So you can get it before the holidays if you're giving it as a gift. And the CC Pocket is one of the most popular pocket radios on the market today. It's my favorite, actually. Like everything that Bob Crane developed, it has unbeatable reception, AM and FM. You just can't beat what he does. And there's crisp, clear audio. Considering the size of this radio, it's amazing. But if you listen on the included CC earbuds, the quality is just phenomenal, which is just great. It's a digital readout, so you get the dial and dial light, and you get weather band and weather alert, which is nice in an emergency and all that. You get presets, 5 presets, and it is just a wonderful companion. Like I say, very lightweight, very durable, fits in the palm of your hand. It's also got a pocket clip if you want to use it that way, since it is the CC Pocket. It's ready to go anywhere, and I think you will like it. Go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Pocket Radio. And if you can't go online, they've got the world's best customer service, and they'd love to talk to you. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone, and you can also ask for a copy of the catalog, and they'll send you one free. But if you can go online, do it now. Look at that CC Pocket Radio, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is the Skyliners. Obviously, since I don't have you, it's always used in trivia contests. People will come up and say, how many U's at the end of Since I Don't Have You? 13. So remember that in case it comes up. There's 13 of them. All right, and that was James on the South Side who wanted to hear that wonderful Skyliners record. Yes, of course, Jimmy Beaumont and Calico Records, and doesn't get better than that. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And Nick, don't go away. I'm holding Nick because we're going to have a long conversation, I can tell already, and I'm looking forward to it. So Paul in Iroquois County, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. I have a couple of foreign songs.
Ooh.
One was on the radio quite a bit back in, I think, the early 60s. It was sung by Q Sakamoto.
Oh, Sukiyaki, yes, as we call it.
Sukiyaki.
Yeah, that wasn't the title, but that's what Capitol Records called it, yes.
And it's even funnier because I would try to sing to that, not knowing how to speak Japanese. And people would just, like, look at me like, the man has lost his mind.
Yeah, well, you know, it starts off easy. Ooh, rea, ooh, you know, so absolutely. All right, so yes, I could go on.
The other is by,
yes.
The other is by Cliff Richard, who I have not liked any of his songs. I know he's very popular, was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
He sang a German song. He didn't know what he was singing. He just sang phonetically. And it was called Das ist die Frage aller Fragen.
Must have been big in Hamburg. But, you know, I don't even know how to spell any of that.
It sounds just like Spanish Harlem.
In German.
The translation in German. Uh-huh. And,
right. Well, that's very inclusive. So Spanish Harlem meets Germany. Okay, then. Now, do this title again so I can kind of phonetically write this, because I'm going to look for this.
Okay. First word is D-A-S. Second word is I-S-T. D-I-E. Next word, F-R-A-G-E.
Uh-huh.
Next word is A-L-L-E-R. And then F-R-A-G-E-N.
Of course. All right. So now I, of course, have to try and see if this is online somewhere.
And I'm just wondering if it was a big hit or not, because, of course, Cliff Richard was very popular.
Right. Well, I'm looking at a couple sources here. Let's see what we can find out here. Let's see. Yes, yes, yes. Well, it certainly was released. It was a 45 in 1964. And God! Well, it is absolutely the German version of Spanish Harlem. Lieber and Stoller get the writer's credits. All right, so
he does a fantastic job on it.
I'm going to look for this. We'll play it after the news. Thank you for that. That's excellent news.
You're welcome, Molly.
Appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
All right, yeah, I want to hear this. I do. All right, but right now I need to hear the news. Then we got Terrence, we got Jim, we got Nick. And, oh, do we have Nick? That's going to be a lot of fun. We always talk old radio, and that makes me happy. On WGN Radio.
I don't know what's wrong with my wife. She ain't been acting right. Came in hungry, and I could be. She hollered, "Pop! The pop's on a strike." I got mad and lost my cool. She must think I'm a fool. You ain't even swept the floor. She hollered, "Ah, the broom's on a strike." "Wait a minute, baby, what's wrong? All day you've been on the phone. Hang up, I want to talk to you." She hollered, "Ah, I'm on a strike."
Yeah. I'm hungry, it's looking good. Put them pots on the fire, yeah. Good old woman, get them pots and slap them on it.
I'm on a strike. I don't know what's wrong with my wife.
WGN Radio, I'm Holly James. That's Jesse Hill. Yes, Mr. Uvuvadu, which we might play later. He would have turned 92 yesterday. Died in New Orleans in 1996, 63 years old, heart and kidney problems. But I just thought he was great. And yes, The Pot's on Strike, 1962 in a minute. One of my faves. Yeah. And it's got a classic ending, too.
Swept the floor, she hollered, "The broom's on a strike. Wait a minute, baby."
Huh? That's it. Oh, all right. So, classic stuff. Now that said, I did find Das ist Cliff Richard, Spanish Harlem in German. And I figured, you know, we should hear a little of it.
Das ist die Frage. Fragen. Und du musst mir die Antwort sagen.
It took a lot of pleasure to admit that was a guilty
pleasure.
All right, so there you have a Cliff Richard. And we assume phonetically doing that, but I'm sure it was a huge hit in Hamburg. All right, so 888-876-5593. Let's see. We have, that was Paul in Iroquois County, by the way, who admitted that. We have Terrence in North Carolina. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you very much for taking my call. Ma'am, we spoke last week briefly about stereo receivers.
Uh-huh.
My question to you is, are there any companies out there that have analog receivers with tape monitors on them? The sole purpose of that is to connect an equalizer, which I do have, but the new receivers that they sell now do not have a monitor button, so it's obsolete.
No, that's very interesting. Now, I think you can find it in very high-end stuff.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
I think that's what the problem is going to be. Now, if anybody wants to weigh in and correct me, I'll hear it. But yeah, I figure we don't want to be talking about Macintosh or Aventone or any of that.
Wherever my price range. Yeah, that's right,
exactly. Okay. And for most of us, let's face it, even the Marantz, you know, some of the Marantz stuff is really pricey at this point. So,
sure.
You know, are you able to? And you're blind, right?
I am not.
You're not. Man. Okay, good. Then not good or bad, but good for this. You're able to go online, search this.
Right. I do not have a computer. That's the thing, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I'm calling you from a track phone, believe it or not.
Oh, well, good for you. All right. So why not? And track phones are as good as any. So tell me exactly what you want to do with this analog receiver.
I would like to connect equalizer.
Yeah.
And what you have to do, ma'am, is connect that through your tape monitor.
Right.
So it will create a loop, so it will activate it through your system.
Right. You know, I'll tell you, for something like that, and it was me, I'd probably right now be going to places like eBay and looking at used stuff, which may be dirt cheap. The other thing is definitely put the search, search in there. And, in fact, I just did while we were speaking. And the first thing I'm seeing from this guy is he's got the same problem. They say modern AV receivers will not have a tape monitor, but many will offer zone out, zone two, zone three. If you run a three head deck, you can plug the play out, but that's not going to help you. All right. So let's see if anybody will come up and tell me, is there anything?
I do want to say one thing. You are very adverse on what you're talking about. You're fast and you're good at what you're good at what you know.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Some of the Yamahas might. I would definitely, and you can't go online is the problem, but so let me do this. I can't do it right now because I'm on the air, but let me write this down and also write what you want, and I'll do a little searching and see what I can come
You're
up
very
with.
Kind. Oh, thank
sure.
you.
Sure, no problem. All yeah, good. Because I assume that tape out, and obviously it used to be very commonplace, but I assume somebody still got it, and we'll let you know.
Yeah. And, I noticed another thing, too, if I real quickly. The receivers today, they took a lot of features away, like your tape monitor, for one, and your bass boost button, and your tone button. And now the tolerance is +5 to -5, where back in the day it used to be +10 to -10.
Right, right.
So they took half of that away from you.
Yeah, it's not a pretty story. That's why when I always talk about the Seacrane company, I mean, many years ago, reception was just putrid on radios. And so that's when Bob Crane said, yeah, I can do better. And he did. But yes, it's a long time coming now. I've got somebody else wanting recommendations for used older AV receivers with tape monitor. Okay. So here's a guy. Okay. All right. Come on. He wants a nice quasi replacement for his Onkyo. All right. So somebody's saying, recommend a Sony ES or Pioneer Leader Yamaha. All right, I'm going to have to look on Yamaha on eBay, which of course is going to be changing every day. Of course, people bid on things and they're gone. But I think you're probably going to. Now here's somebody who says a Denon. Well, I've got some Denon stuff. It's not terrible. But he says has pre out and amp in. All right, I'll keep looking.
Ma'am, you're very kind. Thank you for your time and have a good
absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely. You too. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So if you know off the top of your head, for God's sakes, tell me. Yes, right about now, actually. All right. So we got Jim in Richmond with his update. So, Jim, what you got for me?
First off, I haven't called for a while, but I have been listening.
Thank you.
And secondly, the eyesight is not going very well, and I swear, like tonight, I got eye strain. I go tomorrow, and Humana approved me for Eylea HD.
Good.
And what I could not understand is when I said, how much does it cost? And he kept giving me the pharmacy price. And I go, this is an injection in the eye, and he didn't understand.
Oh, no.
And then finally he goes, the doctor has it in his office. He gives me the shot, and that's that. Well, let me tell you, sir, it's going to be $2,700 for, you know, that's what they're asking for, that prescription, you know. And I said, oh, okay. He says, oh, well, what's my end? He says, so he looked it up, and I know that I've already paid out of pocket 100% on the prescription, the D, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, oh, but that puts you into tier three, which means you're going to have to pay 25%. And it used to be 20%, but now I'm in another tier. So, you know, so, and I multiplied it out. That's, my cut would be $600. So then I called up Good Days. That's that charitable organization
right.
that takes care of it. And they said, I'm approved until December of next year.
Excellent.
So, I'm hoping they will pick that up.
Excellent.
And I'm not, you know, so I'm just worried because my, you know, my vision has been really bad that I'm hoping the swelling isn't back.
Yeah.
Because if the swelling is back, then I get a Kenalog shot instead of the Eylea HD. And I don't know, you listen to the commercials, you're like, I don't want that shot because you listen to this.
Oh, yeah, I know. The list of the side effects, my God, I know. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, scary as hell.
Right. And then, so I just wanted to let you know, and I'll give you an update tomorrow about what happened. But so I just, you know, very nervous and stuff.
Yeah.
And frustrated. It's all heck because, you know, I'm, you know, catching it from everybody.
Yeah.
You should do this, and you should do that, and you should do this, and you should do that, you know?
Yeah.
So, and so I'm just getting by,
okay.
And I want to let you know I live in Wisconsin.
Right.
But when I'm listening to you, I swear I live in Iowa.
I know you're still hearing that. And I haven't yet gotten in touch with someone I know at GN who would know about how that's being geofenced. I think it's hilarious, but I just think it's
right.
I think it's a geofencing problem.
Right, but it's funny because later in the evening, like after midnight, they play three in a row of the same commercial from the Iowa HHS.
Yeah. Okay, well.
And then yesterday, they were playing health services from Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Commercials. Now, are those paid commercials or are those PSAs?
I'd have to hear them to know, and there's a number of things they could be, including PIs per inquiry, meaning they'd be paid if they got response. I'd have to hear the spots to know, but it could be PIs. It also could be programmatically bought where it's just put into a slot when it's available at basically 10 cents on the dollar. It could be anything, but I need to hear them.
Right, but when you hear the same one three in a row.
Well, yeah, yeah, well, that's just...
Last week there were... There were 12 of them during your show.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I jokingly tell my friends I live in Iowa now.
Right, exactly. Well, I'll be curious, and I'm also curious in terms of that is in other areas of the country, are they getting confusing location
right.
spots? I don't know.
If they're listening, if somebody is listening on, like I have the WGN app, if they're listening on that app, does like if Fran is listening, does she get those same commercials in Texas? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Or Texas
or
commercials.
Is it just me.
No.
Or if it's just me because I live, you know, in Wisconsin.
Well, it is because you live in Wisconsin, but obviously they shouldn't be directing it from Iowa. But
right.
so Fran should be getting commercials for Texas, but I don't know what she's getting. So Fran will have to tell us. It's fascinating. Right. I love it. Right. All
right. Right. And I thank you, and you have a wonderful show.
Okay.
And thank James for offering up that song for me.
Absolutely. All right.
He said he wanted to hear She Drives Me Crazy. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
He said dedicate it to Jim, so tell him thank you.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. And appreciate it.
To Fran and everyone else, have a great evening.
You too. Thanks for calling.
And you have a great evening.
Yeah, thanks. You too. All right. So good to hear from Jim. Sorry it's not going better, but he sounds in good spirits, and that's a big portion of the battle at any time. So I'm seeing a lot of stuff for Terrence on eBay, and what I'm really looking for is trying to find something that's really, really cheap, but some that are not expensive at all, not terribly. Including, oh man, there was a Pioneer that I used to have, the SX-939, and they want $152 for that. All right, so, but, you know, that's the problem. $152, that's not bad at all. And then I say $123 in shipping. Yeah, or you could pick it up in New York. So I think it's the kind of thing where we have to find a way for Terrence to be able to get some type of online capability, even if it means going to the library and finding something at the moment that'll work for him. Now, okay, here's a TIAC. I'm not sure about this, about tape, and I'm going to look for that. All right, so I'll continue, and we'll talk to Nick next on WGN Radio. James, that's Dan Hartman, Instant Replay, 1978 on Blue Sky. Yeah, I remember 78, I was in Jacksonville, and yeah, playing everything I didn't want to play, but for some reason never minded that, thought it was a great little record. And of course, when he was with Edgar Winter Group, he wrote on Easy Street, and so we might have to play Easy Street, because that's terrific too. All right, so yeah, it would have been 74 over the weekend. Sadly, Dan Hartman died early, 1994, had a brain tumor. He was only 43, but he left us with some good stuff. All right, so 888-876-5593. All right, we're delaying Nick another minute, which I hope he'll forgive us for, because Brandon is a first-time caller, and he's in Chicago. So, Brandon, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, I forget the guy's name who
Terrence.
Called, but
Terrence.
Hook up the equalizer, you what is it?
Terrence is his name, Terrence.
Oh, Terrence, you need a receiver with pre-out main in.
All
That's
right.
What it's designed for, is for equalizer. That's
yeah.
Where you hook up an equalizer these days.
I guess he's been doing it out of tape monitoring, which is...
Yeah, that's how they used to do it. But even if a receiver still has, like, that was... Tape one is just like a CD player or any other input,
mm-hmm.
except it has outputs so that you can record.
Right, exactly.
Tape two is different. Yeah, tape two is different. Tape two is a monitor, and they don't come like that anymore. And it's actually a good thing, because people accidentally hit that button and then they...
Yeah. Yeah.
Any receiver that has pre-out main in... And
it's
two pairs of RCAs just next to all the inputs on the back. It's usually got some jumpers in there. But any receiver with pre-out, main in, that is designed for an EQ.
Okay.
or any other kind of effect you want to put on there, but no one's going to really do anything other than an EQ. So yeah, that's the key.
Pre-out, main in. I'm going to look for that. I did find some tape monitors. I found a TEAC. Unfortunately, I just realized it's in Great Britain. This might be a little problem, but it was dirt cheap, and it certainly had record in and tape monitor in and out. So yeah, all right.
Any decent stereo receiver, old or new, is going to have that.
Well, see, this is the word you just said, decent, and I'm looking for low end stuff here for them.
Well, that's why I say decent.
Yeah,
like, but not high end, not right. Low end, but
Okay, on the market now.
Quality.
On the market now, who would you recommend?
Oh, geez, there's so many. Yamaha. Rotel, that's kind of high end though, but it's reasonably priced. Marantz,
And that starts getting pricey too.
Yamaha is always a great way to go. It's inexpensive and it sounds great.
Okay, all right.
I'm not a huge fan of Denon, but Denons have pre-out main end.
Right, and Yamaha is, all over the road. Let's face it, you can get them at $2,000 as well as $200. So, yeah, absolutely.
They actually have one. It might be a little pricey. I think it's around $600. They have the most popular two-channel stereo receiver that's out right now.
Well, great information. Thank you. I appreciate the call.
Sure, yeah. Pre-out main in. And then you're probably not going to find it in the description. Just go to the pictures and look at the back, the picture of the connections on the back, and you'll see it right there.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate
it. Have it or it won't.
Good deal.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, good deal. Thanks for calling. So how nice. Appreciate Brandon's help, and hopefully he'll be calling us again. We are going to get to Nick right now. We'll get to the news right here on WGN Radio. Too much Edgar Winter Group, 1974 on Epic. Yes, Easy Street. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I like Brandon's suggestion for preamp out. The only problem that I, and by the way, Adam, who keeps us on the air here, thought the same thing, but the only problem I'm having is finding them that are really in the cost effective cheap is what I'm looking. Cheap, that's right. But I'll keep looking. Nick in Baltimore, welcome back to WGN Radio. Nick, did I lose you? Oh, no. I saved Nick and he went away. Oh, this is just terrible. I was just settling in for a nice long conversation. Nick might have thought better of it. He might have decided to sleep. Well, that happens. So if you think about it, Nick, feel free to, if you wake up, feel free to call me back. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and yes, we'll vote on your guilty pleasures between now and the 23rd, Monday the 23rd, so 2 weeks from yesterday. And as far as scheduling, it's a little interesting next week. We've got stuff. All right, tomorrow, by the way, full show all night, so worry not. 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Central. But on Monday, we just have the last hour, so it'll be a short Monday night trivia, midnight hour. And then on Tuesday, we start at 11 instead of 10, and likewise on Thursday. So those are the deals there. And then, believe it or not, we're at the Christmas week. And I wish I could be with you Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, kind of a thing of mine. But the reality is that they're having dusty roads. It's a Christmas special for Christmas Eve and Christmas night. They did it last year and for Christmas Eve and really liked it. And so they did more of it this year. And Dusty is, he's truly a Cincinnati legend, so hopefully you'll enjoy that. Then on the 26th, which is Thursday, I will be back, and we will count down your guilty pleasures, if there are any countdowns to do. I've been taking the votes, and yes, many of you have been emailing, but as I say, I prefer if you call, because after all, the show happens on the air, and that way we can all have fun making fun of you. No, I digress. All right, so who said that? So that's the deal, and hopefully... Hopefully you will partake in this so that we can get a countdown. And again, not anything that I had thought about doing originally, but something that that many of you over the years have requested. So we've done it for several years now. And as I say, it's always interesting because invariably something on the guilty pleasures list is also on the world's worst hit records, and that's what makes it fun. All right, so pleading worked. Nick called back. All right, so you just a little bit of pleading, and we got him on the phones. All right, Nick, thanks for calling back.
Yeah, something happened with the phone. I don't know.
Oh.
I just heard these beeps and.
Oh no.
Yeah. Anyway. For the guy looking for the amplifier, I was looking at Harman Kardon.
Okay.
And they got a...
Yeah, that name, of course, has been sold. It's not the one we remember from the 60s, but yes.
Yeah, it's just Harman. Yeah. But they have a phone number. It's an 800 number. It's 800-422...
Uh-huh.
8027, and they're open 9 to 11 Eastern Time. Monday through Friday, and then 9 to 5 Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, that's great.
So they may be able to point him in the right direction or, you know, help him somehow.
Right, right.
That's one idea.
Yeah.
Other than that, Amazon or eBay or Crutchfield.
Right, right. eBay, definitely. There's a lot of stuff. Looking at one right now.
Yeah.
So of course you never know what you get, but if it's DOA or just doesn't work well, eBay will always side with you, the buyer, which makes it tough for some sellers, from time to time, to say the least. But they do. All right, I'm looking at stuff. Yeah, so that is nice. And so here's a guy, this is from 2009, who was having an issue using his tape out from his Harman Kardon. I have the preamp plugged into tape in and everything works fine when I want to listen to my records. The problem is I have with the recording process. Okay, fine. Not exactly the same problem, but he said, I've tried to connect the tape out. Okay. All right. So I think
there's stuff out there.
Yeah, there is, and if he wants to, go with the tape monitor, he can. But yeah, if he can find a preamp out that's inexpensive, that would be really nice.
Yeah, everything is so different now.
Oh yeah,
and compact and.
Yeah,
I don't know, but if you do enough searching, you can find it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Some of those Yamahas may really fill the bill, and so
yeah.
that may be a place to start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he could go online, I would say that eBay is his oyster. But otherwise, even if you can go into a Costco, I bet you they have some Yamahas on display.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's stuff at a Costco or a BJ's or one of those outlets. Hey, I had a follow-up. Guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Your music.
Let me hear it.
You're going to kill me for this. Jimmy Loves Marianne, Looking Glass.
No, actually, you know, it's so strange. I don't hate that record at all. In fact, I was with Epic when it came out, and we actually gave out looking glasses, these little viewfinders type thing that you look into. And what you see when you look into it is a picture of the 45. I still have it. So.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so I did not mind Jimmy Loves Marianne. Jimmy wants
that
to be
here. That was 1973, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me see if that's... I thought that was just a great little record. Yeah, the Looking Glass, who were successful in spite of themselves. Because I remember the guy who was the lead singer for that was a guy named Elliot Lurie. And I think he went to Rutgers. But anyway, Elliot saw himself as like a serious hard rocker type. And of course, you know, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, and Jimmy. So he absolutely wanted to. So they put out an album, and I've still got it somewhere. And it's just like, I'll just say, not my taste. But I thought, you know, Brandy's a big hit. Just sit down and shut up. You know, but in any event, yeah, for people who don't remember, Jimmy Loves Marianne.
You're 17, everything that you sing, it's all there in her eyes. So many years of a poor mama's tears and a day to sweet lies. There's nobody home, Mary Ann's alone, almost fully grown and worldly wise. Jimmy's been down, he's been out and around, and he knows where it's at.
Yeah, I thought it was a good little song. A woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah. I thought I liked it better than Brandy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I liked it better than Brandy as well.
Yeah. And it did nothing, and that was it. And then they released Elliot Lurie, and then nothing. I wonder what happened to him.
I'm not sure. I'll have to go to look it up.
That's what, okay.
How far did it chart? I mean, how far did it...
Okay, I'd have to go over and pull the charts. They're not in front of me. But let's see. If you want to prattle on for a minute, I'll go grab the book. You just tell us your life story now.
Okay. Well, the little follow up on that question I had the other time I called about the guy on WGY in Schenectady. That was Bill Miller. I remember the nighttime guy over there, and he was a halfway decent talk show host. I mean, it was a lighter show, but it wasn't really.
What was his last name?
Bill Miller.
Yeah, but you know he went somewhere else. Well, it's radio, of course. They all did.
Yeah. He was somewhere else, but he wound up at GY, and then he went after GY to somewhere else, I guess. And
yeah.
I think he's gone now. But
yeah, William R. Miller was his name, Jr. William R. Miller, Jr., Bill Miller. But what happened to him? All right. Oh, that's interesting. I've got a press photo of him from 1975, so that won't help. Let's see. Here's a guy, Bill Miller, on Facebook. That can't be right, can it? No. There's another Bill Miller who's president of the American Gaming Association. So, I don't know. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, now we have to find out what happened to Bill Miller. All right.
I think a friend of mine told me, I think he was there till 1980 or something like that.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And then, and they either left or...
Yeah, or they left, but most likely he did. You know, they didn't care very much about nights. Okay,
yeah.
So Looking Glass. Oh, man. Jimmy Loves Marianne. It actually got to number 33, but I'd forgotten about this. In between Brandy and Jimmy Loves Marianne was another song. Rainbow Man. And Rainbow Man made it all the way to 104. So
I don't remember that.
Well,
one.
That's I should. I'm sitting there at Epic. I should remember it, but I don't either. Maybe that explains it. Oh no, I must remember it. I think I own it. This could be bad. Let's see.
I swear I don't remember that.
No, that's the Jeff Bates. All right, I don't either. So let's see if we can find it here somewhere. And but yeah, 104. Right, it bubbled under.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. We can glass.
Right. I got another question for you.
I found it, by the way.
Oh, you go ahead.
Yeah, I found it. It's frightening to say.
I was the firstborn son of a lonely soul at best. Streaming nights sank slow in the west.
Sounds like the same tune.
Like the drifting
right.
Soul, my dirty.
Yeah, all right, so that did nothing.
That's not bad.
No, it's not terrible, but it did absolutely nothing. So let's see about Elliot here. Born in Brooklyn, co-founded the Looking Glass, like I say. Began at Rutgers. Yeah, I knew that part. Okay. He wrote and produced music for private business use. Moved to Los Angeles in 1984, and in 85 became head of the music department at 20th Century Fox. He produced the soundtrack album for John Travolta and Jamie Lee Curtis, Perfect, the movie Perfect. And since there, he's worked as music supervisor on several mainstream films. Alien 3, A Night at the Roxbury, Riding in Cars with Boys, I Spy, and Spanglish. And so, I don't know. But yeah, there was that one album, Painful.
Ah, pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Not bad.
Yeah.
See, you have so much knowledge.
Well, I can't find Bill Miller.
Well, no, but at least we know he was there. I mean, I remember listening to him.
Yeah.
Because here's the weird thing. We're talking about 1968, 69, right. 70. And that leads me to another question. It just popped into my head. I've always been a big talk radio fan. I like the top 40 stations, but then I listen to everything, all on that AM radio.
I found them.
Oh.
And I can't believe it. The person who found him was David Carroll. David Carroll's great. Chattanooga radio and TV, and you get all sorts of good information from him. And, yeah, Bill Miller now is at the same one. He died this year, if it is. He was at WFLI and at 15Q in Knoxville, but now, whatever became of Bill Miller? And I later found out he was in Oklahoma or Florida or Indiana or somewhere else. All right, so then he was selling real estate. All right, I don't think this is the same Bill Miller, but he was definitely a radio guy and he'd been at FLI, but I'm pretty sure that this is not the same guy. And so, there was Bob Todd, who from Atlanta Radio, there used to be these get-togethers. And so apparently Bill Miller went to them, this Bill Miller. And he said, I'm Bob Todd. Bill Miller says, I'm Bill Miller. And Bob says, have we met before? And Bill said, absolutely. You fired me 40 years ago. So,
small world.
Exactly, but I don't think it's our Bill Miller. So anyway, sorry to interrupt you. I'll keep looking.
That's fine. I had another quick question for you, and that is, since I was in the talk radio, and I promise I'll watch you. You let me know when I'm watching the clock. All right. WJAS in Pittsburgh when it was an NBC O&O. When did they go talk?
I'm sorry. You were asking me something. And I'm still looking for Bill Miller. I'll stop multitasking. What would you say? I have no idea.
I was going to ask you about WJAS in Pittsburgh. When they were NBC owned. When did they go talk?
Yeah.
I remember 1970. They were, when I went there, they were talking. Yeah,
1320, and they, trying to think about what year this would have been.
I'm just fascinated by it.
Yeah, I'm thinking early 70s, but I don't know.
That sounds about right, because you know what they did on Saturday night? They did a hookup with Long John Neville.
Right.
From New York, but it was a local show for them up there, but it in Pittsburgh, but it was out of New York.
Yeah, WNEW. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a local show designed for. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It was on Saturday night, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Right, absolutely. And then, of course, later in the 70s, Long John took over when Mutual got rid of Herb Jepko. So, but they...
I like that show, too.
Well, you know, Herb was a fool to ever do the deal with Mutual because, of course, it bankrupted him. But, But, yeah.
Can you find those shows online? Are they? I'm sure somebody has them.
Oh, the Nightcaps? A couple of them. Yeah, okay. A couple of them. You can probably go to YouTube and hear a couple. Dr. Joe Buckman used to have a website that had some too, but I'm pretty sure. Of course, JAS went talk again, but that's, you know, last decade, like 10 years ago. But that's not what you're talking about. I know that.
No.
So, no, I know.
Well, they talk now, but they, you know, I'm talking about when it was.
When Long John was on it. Yeah.
Right, and they used to do a weird thing where they were AM and FM, and they'd simulcast, I think, on the FM.
Yeah.
Partially.
Yeah.
From what I understand, but I just went up there with my little transistor radio and I heard.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, because there were a lot of changes around that time, and yeah, of course.
I know I've got all this weird stuff I remember.
But you know, that 1320 was also 13Q, WKTQ.
Right.
And so that, I'm pretty sure that was 73, so this would have to be before 73.
Oh yeah, it was before 73. It was.
Yeah, this has to be like latter 60s.
13Q was.
Well, 13Q was 73. Yeah, 13Q was 73. Yeah, C. Seftel, absolutely, and they brought in, you know, a bunch of people, including Jack Armstrong and all that, and Buzz Bennett. And,
yeah, I remember hearing it. Yeah, played the records fast.
Right, right, but yeah, I'm trying to think, and I think that JAS was until they. Changed it to 13Q, it was JAS, but what year did they go talk? I don't know. I wish I did.
I'm thinking 1970-ish.
Yeah, late 60s. Well, you know, it's over by 73, so, you know. Yeah, I would think late 60s. So,
yeah.
I'll look it up online. Somebody will have this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was... I
would assume...
Probably,
69 to 73. Okay,
16,
so we were right.
Okay.
We were right. When they were the best of everything, 69 to 73.
Wow.
Yeah, 1320. And there is an air check here of it, actually, on Facebook, of all things. And let's see what they... what they talk about here. Well, they talk about the real early days. You don't care about when they were WAMP. All right, so...
WAMP, WFMP.
Yeah, right. So, let's see.
I don't want to blow your break there.
Oh, well, then hang on. Don't go away, because I probably am. Just stay right where you are. And we'll pick it up right here next hour on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. That's a feel-good record. You know, it's a cover, too. The original Not Me was Gary U.S. Bonds. Did nothing. But, I mean, the Orlans hit it, and let's face it, you hear Stephen Caldwell's, you know, frog sound, and it just makes it. And something special about those Cameo records. And I played it because it Shirley Brickley. And, you know, I've never found the answer to this, and I guess it's just an open murder. And she was with the Orlans, and in 1977, she opened her door in Philadelphia, I think she was, actually West Philadelphia was where she was living. But anyway, she opened the door, and somebody blew her away, shot her, killed her, and a would-be intruder. And so no one knows who this was. It was never solved. And that was in 77. Stephen Caldwell now, the frog guy, is turned 82 last month. He is just a delightful person. He's the last living Orlan, but I think he's got a couple new ones who are maybe his kids or nieces and nephews, but they're touring with him. But Rosetta Hightower died in 2014, and Marlena Davis died in 93. But yeah, Shirley Brickley, I've always wondered. All right, so during the news, I started to look up some Long John stuff, and this triggered a memory. We're talking to Nick in Baltimore. All right, NBC hired Long John in the 60s, and of course NBC owned JAS, and they bought it in 57. So they decided they were going to be Pittsburgh Monitor, and this is before they went all talk, and they would have like Monitor on the weekends, and you know, had promos cut by, you know, like a Brad Crandall or whoever was involved at the time. And they did that. And then in 69, they went all talk, but it was patterned after that whole Monitor thing. And that was probably their most successful time. But that's how Long John got on JAS. It was because NBC owned it. He was on NBC, and they were trying for Pittsburgh Monitor.
That's great.
That
was a great station.
Yeah, but I remember that when I had forgotten about it completely, and then it said that he had worked at Long John, went to WNBC. Oh, man, that Monitor thing, yeah. And they were doing the Monitor bit before they went all talk, when they were basically like MOR, when they were Monitor Pittsburgh. They used the Monitor Beacon Sounder and had the Monitor jingles and all that kind of stuff. So it was basically full service, and there were a bunch of feature elements on it as well. And then in 69, they went all talk.
Wow, see, that's why, you know, I figured you'd know.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. I said, whoa, how did I forget him being at WNBC? But I did. You know, and
Monitor was a great, I remember listening to that.
Monitor was absolutely terrific. Yeah, and it's so sad that that went away. I think Jack Thayer was head of NBC when that went away, and it was very, very sad.
The NIS.
Yeah, and I know, right, exactly. I know that some of the last week of Monitor, Robert W. was on it, and of course Don Imus and some others. You know, I mean, being on Monitor was a big deal, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Monitor had been around forever, and they tried all sorts of things. Remember in the 50s they had the weekday schedule, and they had like Virginia Graham and people like that. And
right.
You know, that didn't do much for him, but yeah, as far as a weekend network feature, it didn't get better than Monitor.
Yeah, well, because I even as a kid I listened to it. I used to, you know, I was into all that stuff.
Sure,
but that was before all the brokered stuff and the infomercials and the.
Well, right.
The junk that's there now.
Yeah, it's really interesting, of course, because originally FM was the bastard stepchild, and you'd simulcast or you'd do whatever. And then as FM took over, what really helped AM more than anything was the availability of satellite programming in the early 80s, because you could put things on the air that were cheap, mm-hmm. but free, actually, you know, bartered.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but then the idea, like I always say, you know, a salesman who has sold an infomercial is like a dog who has tasted chicken. You just got to put them down, you know, because of course they're never going to, sell time again when they can, you know, sell an entire hour. So yeah, now today, you know, a lot of these talk stations, the entire weekend is one brokered hour after the next brokered hour period, you know, so it's
yeah,
sad,
but well.
True. But yeah, because you know, talk radio originally, and even back in '69, of course, talk radio was reserved for the well off because it was a very expensive format to do. You know, mm-hmm. to be successful, you had to have a good news department. That was number one. Strong news and local involvement. But for every host, you had a host, you had a screener, you had a producer, you had a board op. You know, so this was expensive programming back then. This is long before there was an internet where you could get some show prep, and long before any of the things, satellite delivered and all that, were there. So only stations with a lot of money engaged in talk.
Well, it's funny. The first all-talk station here was a daytimer.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old WAYE,
right.
Way Radio, and that, Chris, believe it or not, that's family radio now, but...
well, sure. Oh, so many of the legendary AM stations are now religious-owned, you know, whether it's Salem or whatever, but you know, and the WAYE thing, I don't think lasted all that long.
No. They went rock in 71, I think.
Right.
Well, 1970 they started changing.
Right.
But they only, I think it was only like a year maybe.
Right.
From like 60, well, maybe 68 to 69, something,
yeah,
70.
Right. And there were several stations around the country in Miami. There was WKAT 1360.
Right.
But, of course, you know, the big guns were, of course, the Camo X's of the world and you know, of course, KGO and KBC and all that. But all of these people had money for the most part, so trying to do it cheaply, and WAYE was trying to do it cheaply, but I think they found out that they couldn't make money at it.
Right. But they tried, you know, but
yeah.
That was... Like you said, it was a different era where, you know, you tried anything. And it was interesting back then. Not that it's, you know, it's interesting now, too, but, you know, you've got to be more innovative and experimental. And I think it goes back to something you said many months ago, where you said that it's going to take innovation. You know, someone when these places are dirt cheap.
Yeah, when they're worthless, that's the only time. Nobody takes a chance. But yeah, I think AYE, I think they went like album rock. You know, 860 album rock, and then, you know, so there was that. But sure, all of this, when there's nothing left to lose, it's easy to take a chance. And that's the bottom line to this. But right now, of course, there's so much debt on most of these outlets that they're not in a position where they can do it.
Well, that's because of the consolidation thing.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course. And, you know, the new FCC chairman, assuming it will be Brendan Carr, is going to do the same thing with television.
Yeah.
You know,
well.
But again, you know, we can have an emotional discussion of why we don't want it, and then you have a rational discussion about, you know, what is available in terms of entertainment and how is it sold, and suddenly it starts to make a little sense. You don't like it, but it makes sense.
Well, what did you always say, and I picked up on, and you came up with this, there'll always be an audio and visual medium.
Right.
Whether we call it radio or television. We can debate that, but
well, right. Well, you know, like I say, the discussion of whether it's AM, FM, satellite, or whatever—that's the discussion of the delivery truck. And
right.
Nobody, absolutely nobody, when Amazon comes to the door, goes out to admire the truck. They
right.
just want to see what's on it. And of course, with radio and television, what's on it is programming. So,
right.
Audio content. And video will continue to exist. I was just seeing an interesting article on radio in the car. You know, and not the argument. arguments about, oh my God, is it not going to be in electric cars and all that stuff. But looking at the intelligent dash that's there now, in many cases, it's not as simple as getting in the car and turning on the radio the way it was. And so if you now have to, you know, do a couple things to bring the radio up on your smart dash, if you were, well, you better have programming that people want to do that, because it's just as easy to bring up something that's online.
Right. What about the concept of a smart radio? That is, if you're driving along and you hit a dead spot, or you're driving out of a coverage area, And it flips over to the internet and gets the internet feed of the station you're listening to.
Is anybody doing that?
Well, that's an idea.
It is, assuming that you're in an area that has internet connectivity. You know, the drive we make every day has none.
Well, the reason why I say that now, because I didn't want to take your whole show, but the thing is that I have a mini radio here, internet radio.
Yeah.
I have all these internet radios. One of them has you can, if you're punched in on the internet to a local station or any, a local station, let's say, and you lose the internet, it'll flip over to the FM. Okay. Section.
Interesting.
To that station, or vice versa. But you have to have it plugged. The guy told me it has to be plugged in, the power. So.
Well, right. Interesting. It wouldn't surprise me, but the bottom line, again, is that it is all about content, and
right.
it's not a question of whether radio's dead or not. It's what's on it that's worth hearing.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I'm proud to be on GN, because they don't do infomercials. You know, I mean, I can't think of any other talk station that doesn't.
Yeah, it's true, and GN's a solid performer.
Yeah,
and I'll just say this in closing: you're worth listening to.
Yeah, well, that's kind of you to say. I think as we talk, and I always delight in it, but I think there's probably a lot of people who don't think this is worth hearing, but it is to me. So I'm glad you called.
All right. Well, you have a good one. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Absolutely. Don't wait that long to call back.
I won't. Take care.
Good deal. Bye. So 888-876-5593. We got Eduardo in Tampa. We got Chris in South Carolina. And we have room for you, too, on WGN Radio. Airplay, because there's a flip side of Sweet Dreams. Yeah, Patsy Cline, which usually is taking center stage. But 1963 on Decca, James on the South Side wanted to hear it and happy to play it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio. Hello, Eduardo. I can hear something, but I guess I'm not hearing it. Maybe he's fallen asleep. It is an hour later on the East Coast, but all right, well, maybe Eduardo will wake up, and if he will, he can call back, and I'm looking forward to that. But Chris in South Carolina, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, how about yourself, Chris? What's new?
Nothing much. I remember, we talked about, Class 4 radio stations.
Yes.
AM.
Yes.
What frequency is Class 4?
Well, there's several, and of course they don't exist that way anymore. But originally, 1230 and 1240 would be easily class fours. They were the stations that would be 1,000 watt days and 250 watts at night. Now they're 1,000 watt day and night. But there's a ton of them, and when you start looking, if you look at a list of radio stations on each frequency, you can always pick out the class four because they have so many.
Yeah, like 1450 and 1350.
Well, 1450 for sure. 1350 I'd have to think about, but because then you get into some class 3s in the 1300s too. But 1450 definitely, 1490 definitely. Yes, absolutely.
About 1590.
No. See, now you're getting into another ball game when you're talking about 1590. But you know, if you can go online and if you look at World Radio History, and that's David Gleason's wonderful site, you can look at the old broadcasting yearbooks and pick one from, you know, say 1965 or whatever. They will have all the frequencies, what class they are, and if they're a clear, whether they're a Mexican clear or a Canadian clear or both, you know, or a U.S. clear. And traditionally, though, it was 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 were the clear channels, either 1A or 1B. 1B would be two frequencies major across the country. 1A would be there was only one that was dominant at night. Class 2 were the daytimers on the Class 1 frequencies. Class 3s were the regionals. A lot of directional in Class 3s. Class 4s were always non-directional, 1,000-day, 250 night.
Yeah, like... What about 95.7 on FM?
Oh, now
how's that?
Now that's totally different. But FM used to, by dial position, would tell you whether you were an A or B or C. Now B or C would depend on the market. Now there's much more now. There's C1, 2, and 3, and B. But traditionally, your class A was going to be 3,000 watts at 300 feet, and then they later increased it to 6,000 watts at 600 feet. But class B or C was determined by the market. In other words, if you're sitting in Baltimore, an overcrowded radio market, you're only going to have class Bs, which means that their maximum is going to be 50,000 watts. If you're in Houston, which, you know, flat as a pancake and all over the place and not as much radio, you're a class C. You got a lot of 100,000 watt stations. So B or C is dependent on what?
What about my 95.7? It's very low power, CJW radio.
Well, again, what I'm talking about is historical. All the bets are off now. So is it a low power station?
Yeah, part 15.
Oh, well, part 15, you don't even need to have a license.
Uh-oh.
You know,
they can pick up like a box too.
If you're really doing a part 15 situation, now you want to make damn sure that your equipment isn't violating the rules or all of that. But part 15 traditionally is anybody can do it.
Uh huh. Yeah, well, I have your own radio station.
Yeah, and, you know, you see a variable, like a school might do it so that they can broadcast to the bleachers for the football game or something like that. A business might do it so that if you're driving down the block, you can hear about Ed's tires or something.
I have, like, music, and I play shows on there and some sports.
Okay, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. We're going to do the news, and we'll get right back to it right here on WGN Radio.
Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then. Step into my heart, leave your cares behind. Welcome to my world. With you in mind, knock
the door will open. Seek and you will find. Ask and you'll be given. The key to this world of mine.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Jim Reeves. Welcome to my world, 1963 on RCA. Chet Atkins produced that. And that was another James from the South Sky request. He likes his country. All right, so we're talking to Chris in South Carolina. And so, yeah, Part 15 stations don't need a license. You can, as long as you're not interfering with anybody else, and, you know, you're looking at basically a watt of power. You know, you're going like 200 feet. So you can do it anywhere, except you cannot do it anywhere on the television band. Now, why that would matter to radio is, you know, remember, Channel 6 falls within the spectrum, like 87.9. You wouldn't be able to do that.
And what channel is 95.7 on television?
Okay, well, 95.7 isn't on television. It's on radio. It's frequency modulation. It is not related to television at all. But 95.7 would be I'm trying to think if that would be channel 239, and it's a BC, you know, depending on the market. So no, the frequency bands, the only time FM hits television at all is channel 6, because television band is pretty much between channel 6 and channel 7. I mean, FM, yeah. FM would be. So, and it's far away from channel 7, so you're not going to hit that. But and of course, this is old news, because television doesn't broadcast that way anymore. Everything has, the world has changed, but this is the, you know, original systems before digital.
Yeah, because I miss analog TV. You can pick up anything you want, even with the Sony Watchman.
Uh-huh.
But now, everything's digital. You can't even pick up nothing.
Yeah, and you know, most people aren't trying to pick up things over the air. Almost everybody, and I've mentioned this before, a television station where John was working in Philadelphia was off the air, and no one knew it, because all the listeners were listening by cable or satellite, but not local. So there's not that much terrestrial. Now there is, and you've got some repeaters and translators in television for remote areas and stuff like that. But for the most part, there's not that much terrestrial viewing.
Yeah, because you can have like your own terrestrial TV band and like do it low power, analog.
Well, again, the band that was there before, that's been phased out. That's being used, as far as I know, for a different purpose entirely. It's not broadcasting.
Yeah, because you know you had like the, was it ATSC?
By the way, I just went ahead to look at this. Right now, 22% of television viewing is considered some form of terrestrial. It's actually higher than I thought, but you know, obviously, if it's 22%, you understand that it is. It's going to be 78% is something other than terrestrial. It's not over the air. So, but, and of course, with television, you also have, it's licensed, of course, but low power TV, that's been going on for quite a while. There's quite a bit of low power TV.
Mm-hmm, but it's rare, because,
well, it's really not that rare. It's been around since the 80s, really, and particularly it's used in smaller communities, rural communities, things like that, or sometimes it's an individual, you know, community within a larger urban area, and so, you know, it's, and like I say, you've got to talk to somebody else when you start talking about digital broadcasting. It's just not my world. And I go back to the good old analog days. And what I can tell you is all these people who had a UHF station, well, the power demands on that, it was ultra high frequency, were just excessive. So low power TV, when it came out, offered somewhat of a break on the electric bill.
Yeah, because like Channel 40, that's a UHF channel.
Well, of course, but it's not. Those are just numbers now. You know, I don't think there's anybody transmitting an analog television signals now. But again, you need to talk to somebody who is up on this. I'm a fossil.
Yeah, and you know, like you heard, you said infomercials on radio stations on the weekend. You think that's boring because nobody listens to the radio on the weekend?
No, I think because it's an easy sell. That's why my line about a salesperson who sold an infomercial is like a dog who's tasted chicken. You know, if you can sell an hour of time for a nice hefty fee and get your 15% commission, why would you try to look for the local dry cleaner to get your dollar a holler spots?
Yeah, because like WCRS here, they don't do infomercials. They just play music.
Well, that's great. I'm delighted to hear when people do, but a lot of people, you know, want to get as much bang for the buck as they can, and they sell it out. But sure, if they can do it all music, they're not going to make any money on the weekends doing all music, but they can do it.
Yeah, and is it required, like, if a radio station tests their EAS system?
Well, what do you mean? You have to have an EAS system, yeah, if you're licensed.
Yeah, because I know it's like sometimes like those yards, they don't usually test theirs.
Well,
but they do have the EAS system, but I don't think it's on.
Well, unfortunately,
when they do the requirements,
right?
Test.
The state of, well, you might not know because you know the test now. You're just hearing a succession of a few tones. You don't have to hear a message.
So, because it's just a few. And that's it.
Yeah, for the weekly test for the RWTs, yeah. Now for the RMTs, for the monthly tests, that's a little different. But if you're talking about Part 15, they don't have to do anything because they're not licensed.
Yeah, you don't have to put the EAS system on Part 15 radio.
You don't have to do anything on Part 15 because it's not a licensed service. You just have to make sure you're not exceeding 200 feet about or 1 watt about, you know, in your coverage.
Yeah, but on my station, I still test mine because I recorded the sound on YouTube and put it on my thing like once a month. Before.
Well, there you go. And have a good time. That's fine. And, you know, these little FM transmitters, too, a lot of people have fun with them, but some of them absolutely violate the law because they're running far too much power. But people use those FM transmitters to shift audio in many ways. I used to use them all the time, and I'll never forget it. This was in Chatsford, Pennsylvania. I left my house, and I went to the convenience store, the Wawa, and I could still hear what I was transmitting. I thought, oh, God, I better take a look at this FM transmitter and maybe tune it.
Well, better you can play no weather radio on the FM now.
Well, all right. Well, so, and then there's also a lot of transmission. Like, we lived in one area where all of the IFB, the talkback channels on QVC, we heard them on the radio like they were just locals. We heard everything every cameraman ever said. And it was just one of those things. You know, it wasn't supposed to, but it did.
Yeah, like shopping on the radio, like figure out what they're selling.
Yeah, well, actually, this was just more about what angle were they capturing. But yes, so sure, if you want to do Part 15, you're more than welcome to do it, and no one will bother you whatsoever.
Oh yeah, you can play the sports you want. You can play the music you want.
Absolutely. Now you can't sell commercials.
You can't sell commercials on Part 15.
No.
But you could play fake commercials.
Well, you could probably do whatever you wanted. You're talking about 200 feet for the most part.
Yeah, I do that one Saturday Morning Sucks commercial, like the anti-old stone depressant. I play that.
All right. Well, knock yourself out. Have a good time, and always good to hear from you, Chris.
Okay, you might hear on me Friday or Monday because next week is our film society.
Oh, good.
And we're playing The Grinch Stole Christmas and Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Well, have fun. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. I'll get back.
All right. So,
you're welcome.
888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And, oh, we're going to do some stories with James coming up. I played all of his requests. So we'll talk to you, too, if you'd like to call in on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Donald Byrd. And he was in our historical news for today as well, which is why I picked that as a bumper, but also because I just like Kinaloop Island, so never hurts to play that. But where was it that I had all that Donald Byrd stuff? And of course, he was very accomplished, to say the least. Taught at over 10 different universities, and at Howard, he hatched the blackbirds, among other things. And he got a JD at Howard, actually, and on and on. And sadly, died 2013 in Dover, Delaware, 80 years old, but it was certainly a life well lived. All right, James on the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, James?
How are you? I had fell asleep, unfortunately, before earlier. I'm sorry.
Well, hopefully it was a nice rest, but I played all your requests.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I did keep up with this one about the story, a couple of them, and I gotta admit, I think at least this one is gotten a little bit towards too political. One, the one with this involving the CEO, the death of the CEO.
Oh yeah, no, we can't touch that.
Yeah, and I realized that. I said no, this is getting, so I stopped even.
Yeah, obviously everybody's heard about this, and there's all sorts of comments from people who are just so upset with the insurance industry that they're saying good for him, and of course, you know, everybody else is saying that's just terrible. And meantime, his parents had filed a missing persons on him in November. They had not been in touch. There's all sorts of stories here, but this is so outside the scope of what we do. Unless we find out that MK Ultra and the CIA programmed him, I think we're going to stay away from it. So
what did you think was the one that was that at least made you at least think about most, the ones that that kind of fell into the more normal range?
You know, you probably shouldn't even ask me that right now, because I've been so busy doing other stuff that I barely had a time to look at more than the headlines. We have obviously people behaving badly around their children, a ton of that. And, the idea that the ambulance staff would tell a mother that they were too busy to help and the toddler died. I hope there's going to be a little investigation into that.
And I'm like thinking, are you serious?
Yeah. Well, And of course, when you read that kind of stuff, you also really want a lot of verification of this, too. It was a child of 2 years old, goes into cardiac arrest, mother calls for help, a dispatcher sent firefighters instead of paramedics, and the child went into respiratory illness and stopped breathing. And the mother called 911, and the firefighters realized they needed the child needed more help than they could provide. It does make you wonder how often those things happen.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we realize that, hey, there's already places, towns which don't have enough policemen, so it's obviously there's towns that don't have enough firemen or paramedics.
Right, they had the firemen, but I guess the dispatcher had to make a call on this in terms of limited resources on who to send. And actually, one of the firefighters took the kid into his car and drove her to Mass Gen. So, a couple other firefighters were administering CPR on the drive. So they were doing, the actual people who showed up were doing everything they could. But the real question is, how stressed is the 911 system?
And I think it is stretched probably real far. Yeah, it's just a matter of, it's like everything else. It's like there's more need than there are resources.
It's sad, to say the least. Now, the headline, Florida nurse caught stealing fentanyl 143 times in 1 month. Now, what I want to know is, after she's caught the first time, why is she still in the hospital having access to this? So here we have a 35-year-old nurse. It's a guy, actually, David Schaefer, who used his position as a traveling nurse to steal vials of fentanyl on 143 occasions. After the first occasion.
I was like shocked. I'm like thinking, really?
Yeah. Well,
I didn't say, okay, where's security? Where's somebody to basically put him in handcuffs?
Yeah, this happened.
Well, at the very least.
This happened at one hospital between January 22nd and February 14th. So, you know, about a 3-week period. But you would think the hospital would know day one that, gee, fentanyl's missing.
Yeah, I would think that would be the first thing. I mean, considering that pharmacies is, okay, lock up, put it in a time safe.
Yeah. Basically. Well, the hospitals do too, which is interesting. That's what this guy was doing. He was dispensing it by putting in the information into the system about patients who weren't prescribed this. In other words, he was just committing fraud for that to get the substances. So that's how he'd be getting them, and he would prescribe them to a specified patient, even though he was not authorized to prescribe anything to anybody, and they're certainly not controlled. So it's an automated medication dispensing cabinet. And obviously, this guy found the way to override it.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. This. I mean, and you figure something this dangerous.
I still think it didn't take 3 weeks. That's the part that I don't understand. Okay, he pulled it off maybe a day or two, but, you know, for 3 weeks, nobody's noticing. Okay, now, poor Mike Tyson, hit with $1.6 million lawsuit, pulling out of a promotional deal, apparently. And so I wonder what the deal is there.
He was supposed to promote something, and then he pulled out because he was having that other little thing, we call it fake boxing, is a thing that came on Netflix.
Right. The Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight that fans are saying this is not real and all that. And I know some of them are saying we're going to sue Netflix. I don't know whatever happened to that, but Jake Paul owned $40 million and Mike Tyson made $20 million. And so Jake got more money because he helped promote the event. So, yeah, I guess the deal in Great Britain is that's where the Mike Tyson lawsuit's originating, is that he was hired to promote a gambling company. And so they're suing him, saying that Tyson ended the deal in March, right when his fight with Jake Paul was announced, to avoid a schedule problem. So we'll see. And I don't think there's been a response there. But yeah, poor Mike Tyson. So
the hits keep on coming.
Yeah. So yeah. Then we have Illinois students taken to the hospital after eating quote unquote special gummies. That's really frightening to think that these kids will, and they will. I know that people do in general. They'll ingest all sorts of things, having no idea what they are, or what they might do.
Yeah, and then you say, I should have avoided that. And then of course, let's not forget about every now and then where you hear about somebody loaded brownie.
Oh, of course. But now the thing with these gummies is the school children we're talking about aren't like high schoolers. These were grade schoolers. Apparently, one kid got into his parents' stash of special gummies and brought them to school, shared them with everybody, and they say everybody's going to be okay, but you still would think that the kids would have been taught by the parents long before this not to ingest anything, you know, that is unknown to them.
Yeah, and I would basically have said, do not go into substances that have long names that you can barely pronounce, let the fever the first syllable.
And then, of course, we have another assassination attempt, this one on Elton John, and we've just ended the show, so maybe we'll talk tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so that's James on the South Side, and we'll do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I hope you'll call tomorrow night. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank those of you who called tonight. Much appreciated. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.